Welcome to the Alchemy of Business Show with your host, Steve Rogers. The Alchemy of Business Show is a podcast that mixes practical, actionable business solutions with soulful insights for anyone seeking deeper meaning in their lives and greater success in their work. Steve will be featuring purpose-driven leaders from all walks of life and getting insight into their journeys from failures to triumphs. So tune in to transition, transform, and evolve in every dimension of your business and life. And now your host of the Alchemy of Business Show, Steve Rogers.
Hello and welcome to the Alchemy of Business Show. We are here again today helping people find ways to make wiser decisions, creating greater profits and abundance in your life, and also finding higher purpose and meaning in all that you do and who you are. So thanks for listening in, whether you're listening on iTunes or maybe you're viewing on YouTube, however you got here, we're just glad that you're here and we hope that you enjoy the show. We are thrilled to have a wonderful guest with us today, Antonia Bowring. She's an expert, a real expert in executive coaching, and she's a consultant. And she has a niche because of different things that she has had in her own life and how she now helps others. She's a very highly credentialed top New York executive coach, and she works with founders, C-suite executives, and leadership teams. And she's one of these expertise in, it's called neurodiverse leaders, which potentially may have ADHD, maybe they have some issues with staying focused, or maybe it's just in their learning behavior or how they communicate. But she creates the necessary scaffolding to leverage their gifts and maintain their focus in their own unique way. And she is a frequent speaker. She's sought out many times by companies and groups and topics ranging from mindfulness, ADHD in the workplace, and communication with best practices, regardless of what your style is. Her articles through the Forbes Coaches Council are widely read, and the American Reporter named her one of the top leadership coaches to watch in 2022. Her most recent book, which we're glad to be talking about today, is Coach Yourself, Increase Awareness, Change Behavior, and Thrive. This book really offers practical frameworks and exploring the power of performance coaching to become the best version of yourself. So without further ado, Antonia, please join us.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. Well, thank you so much. Well, you're on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. I'm not sure everyone's listening in. It'll be all over the world. So we will capture then whatever time zone they're in, and we'll sync up with you and I here, East to West.
Perfect.
So thank you for jumping on. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your, just a Reader's Digest version, a little bit more on your background about how you went from having this great background of C-suite coaches and becoming this expert in this space? How did that path begin? Like, what's some background before that that led you to have this ability to be able to have this expertise and to have written this book? So let's talk of like rewind back in the earlier days and give us a quick snapshot of your journey.
Yeah, I'll make it the really short Reader's Digest version.
Okay.
And funny enough, I was just thinking about writing my mother a gratitude letter for Christmas, because we celebrate Christmas. And a key value of mine that I learned from my mother, which is really the thread through my entire career, or careers, I should say, is in service of. And originally, I was in service of micro enterprises internationally, worked in microfinance, worked at the World Bank. And then I was in service of, this didn't last long, helping large companies cut costs. And that did not quite work for me. And then I was in service of helping nonprofits grow as part of leadership teams. And my most recent, I guess, career, it's been a decade, is in service of helping others thrive and flourish, developing their potential and their definition of success linked with contentment. So that's really the journey, always with that focus.
Well, that being of service always goes a long way. I have found that the ultimate nirvana of people's highest purpose when they've had the career, they've made money, they've raised a family, they realize at the end of the day, they're still trying to get back to the ultimate nirvana is being of service and being of value. And we realize along the way, if we're doing that as brothers or sisters or parents or teachers or good neighbors or in our companies or businesses, we always have a chance to be a servant in service, meaning, and I know when I switched my mindset, even when I was an executive, a president or CEO, when I realized I switched to being a servant leader and a servant leader of mine, it really shifted on some of the ways in which I approached. So thank you for bringing that up. And it sounds like your mother would be more than proud of you. And so getting that note out to her, I'm sure would be, would make her day. So she's got to be proud with the journey you've had.
Yeah, I think she is. Thank you for that.
So talk to us as you decided that you went through these different things in the nonprofit, the corporate world, and a lot of times finding out in life what we don't want versus what we do want. So crossing off the list. So obviously your journey is many people are listening in. Some of the people on the show have had the same experience. We find, oh, I thought that was going to work great. And it wasn't quite for me, but we always take nuggets from those things and learning from those. And it sounds like you've adapted that really well. Even if you didn't have long-term stints or it wasn't for you, it sounds like you've incorporated those journeys so that they weren't wasted breadcrumbs or nuggets, that you've really put them in to some processes that you've been working in your current life and your coaching and your consulting. So can you talk to us about how you started to decide to become a coach? And then I want to get into some of the foundational stuff that you've come up with that you use in your work. So we'll get to the AB strategies, but let's start with why and how becoming a coach.
Sure. So I was running a nonprofit in New York City that helped women start businesses. And I opened the branch office of a national organization that was based in California. We were doing great. And the organization went bankrupt in California. And as you know, we had no control over the money. So even though the programming, the funders, and I had to make a decision, do we shut it down or do we try and go on independently? And I was so tired and it seemed like such a huge hill to go up with like literally, you know, $100 in the drawer that I decided that wasn't what I wanted to do, and that it was very clear to me, whatever I did next, I wanted agency. I wanted full accountability for success or failure, but I wanted to be able to own it. And I had engaged some coaches to, at pro bono, work with the women who were clients of the programming. And one of them, still a very, very important person to me, although she passed away, she said to me, what are you going to do now? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm so tired. I'm not sure. And she said, you should take my intensive executive coaching course at NYU. You're a natural. And I did. And I literally never looked back. It was the kind of thing you go, oh, I was born to do this, but I couldn't have done it 20 years ago. I needed that journey to, you know, give me a lot of life experience and learnings. And the timing was right. There was nowhere to go but up. And I literally have never looked back.
That's awesome. Well, I love when we find our aha moments and there's like, oh, it's just a connection. And I heard a phrase once, actually read it in a book long ago, and it was just the word about aha, that we all have our aha moments.
Yeah.
And the book was saying, hey, have you ever had an aha moment? And the author was writing, when you have an aha moment and it like feels like, boom, that's God's way of saying hello. That day, like boom, clear, crystal. Hello. That's right. You're on the right path. Follow that breadcrumb. So I'm glad that you did.
Nice. Yeah. So am I. Yeah. Really. Every day I wake up blessed to do this work and it keeps evolving, you know, as I'm evolving, the work definitely evolves, but, I love it.
And then do you remember who your first, client was?
Oh my goodness. You know what? Well, maybe not quite the first, but about my third. And in fact, I talked to her today. Funny enough, isn't that funny? And she's going through some turmoil. And that was, 10 years ago. And she has been so important to me. And she literally said to me, I was complaining this, that, or the other. And my husband said to me, I think you need to call Antonia. So we just spoke
Alan Antonia, she's got it for you. What a smart husband.
Yeah.
And what a smart wife that she listened.
Yeah, she's great. And I remember I was on the New York subway on a subway platform, and she just kind of signed on and accepted my, I don't remember how much money it was, but let's just say it was a lot less than I charge today. And I remember being on the subway platform and going, oh, yes, like a client paying full freight.
Yes.
And I remember it as if it was yesterday. I remember the subway platform where I was. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And then being in the nonprofit with women and helping businesses, did you have most of your client base in the early days that were women in business or executives, or has that stayed that way, or is it now both a mix of all genders?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question, Steve, because it seems to me what one generally does if you become an executive coach is you start building on whatever is already in your background. And I started with like my nonprofit connections, and I tried to do things pro bono or very low bono, as I like to call it, and for the boards of them. And then through the working with the board members, that led to one of my biggest relationships for many years with a real estate firm, because that person was a board member, and it just kind of snowballed. I would say my business is still 75% word of mouth. I get some things from articles and obviously from my book, but it's primarily word of mouth business.
Well, when you do good work and you have people who love and become your raving fans, they usually say that's what you aspire to make sure your your clients are repeat business and referrals. So you're doing something right. Let's talk about the book for a minute. We're going to pop back and forth on the book, but since you mentioned it, we'll pop a picture up of that so people can see your book. This book, Coach Yourself, talk to us about the first inception in your mind that you had about writing a book. So the thought. And then how long from the thought to the title, and then how long from the title to the completed book?
Yeah. Those are lovely questions, and it's lovely to sort of think back that way. So I will be completely frank with you. I had not planned to write a book. I had figured out that I enjoyed writing and was writing quite a bit, like monthly, maybe online articles. And Wiley contacted me and said, have you thought about writing a book? What would it be about? And I had two book ideas. And by the way, people always say, never tell your book idea until you're 75% done. But I had two ideas, and I hope this is motivating for other people listening. I truly believe that we all have a book inside us. Everybody, because I'm telling you, this was actually not a hard book to write, because this book, I went, okay, what could I write about? The other book is about ADHD more specifically. I'm not going to say too much, but it would have been a much harder book to write as a first book. But this book, I literally thought to myself, okay, I have amassed, I am very framework driven. I love frameworks, and I have found them to be very, very, very helpful in my coaching engagements. So I thought to myself, well, I would also love to see executive coaching democratized. Why don't I make my go-to frameworks available? And I could have written this book for new coaches. It would have looked a bit different, but that could have been who the audience was, because I wish I'd had this book when I started coaching, because every framework in here, I use some subset of them in every engagement. And so it literally was like taking a brain dump from myself, and of course, researching and you know, making sure I had all the right credits. And some of them I adapted, some are my own creation, although I'm sure someone else created something similar too. And then structuring it by like, what are the frameworks I use at the beginning of an engagement? What are the communication frameworks? What are the management and team frameworks? And then a section on habits, kind of tying it together at the end. And so I think this was the easiest book I could have written because it was my truth for a decade. And I hope that motivates people who, oh, not me. What would I write about? We all have a book, at least one. And now whether people buy it is a different matter, but that was how it came to be. And I will tell you, I started writing it. I negotiated with Wiley. I think I started in like January and I was done in December. So under a year. Yeah.
Very good. Well, yeah. Congrats on, you know, the, as Napoleon Hill says, anything the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. So it's a true example of that. I always love when thought materializes into the physical and material world of books or products or services or our life and expression. Yes. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So the audience for this book then is really anybody who wants to improve themselves personally or professionally and start identifying their habits and behaviors and what maybe is working and what's not. And then the strategies that you have, are you giving them steps and processes to apply that personally or professionally in their lives?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. So how do you incorporate that not only in the book, but in your practice, as you're saying, hey, how do you get somebody to see the log in their own eye, if you would, or how does that phrase go about the, whatever in someone else's eye, but see the log in your own. So how is it your exercise or your coaching helps someone to acknowledge or to take inventory, if you would, of what is productive habits and behaviors and maybe what's not so productive habit behaviors and possibly destructive behaviors? How do you get people to identify those? And then how do you help them identify which ones they want to start changing?
Yeah. Well, most coaching engagements, there's a difference between working with founders and early stage high growth companies and working inside large corporations. Large corporations have a kind of format for, traditionally it's a 6-month engagement. So I'm going to talk a little more generically, but you start an engagement by collecting data, right? And the sources for collecting data are the coachee, the coachee's boss, although today I was just realizing, well, of course, actually a new coachee of mine doesn't have a boss. So, okay, so how will that work? How do we get that kind of perspective on him? So the coachee's perspective, their boss's perspective, and then their peers' perspective and their direct reports. And I use personality assessments. I use sometimes performance reviews, and I usually do what's called a 360. And I tend to not do them purely based on interviews anymore because they're very expensive to do. I do an online one. It's quite a beautiful one, Leadership Circle profile. And that's how I gather a lot of data. Because what I'm really interested in is looking at it from all angles. And that is the data that helps us formulate our goals. That's how I start.
That's wonderful. Well, I love that assessment of not only just having them assess themselves, but that 360 is really powerful, the 360 feed forward, where other people that you interact with are giving you feedback in an honest, transparent, but safe way. As the data is being received, and then the leader, he or she can decide as they're deciphering. It doesn't mean that it's not true. It means what then are they willing to do about it, and are they willing to accept it?
Yes.
So we've got just a couple minutes left in this segment, but how often are you finding that this amazing data of somebody's 360 degree view of themselves as a person, as a leader, and how they interact with others. How often is that received with your clients once it's there in positive ways if it's not such positive news? How is that like 80% of the time it's usually positive, so it's not usually too big of a problem, and it's only that 20%? Or are you finding that it's like, I'm sure it depends on the client, but that it's even more surprising to them about how some of the news maybe isn't what they expected or wanted, and then they have to digest it?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a couple of key parts here. One is that I need to have a trusting relationship with my client in order for them to hear what I'm going to tell them. That's one very important thing. Secondly, there is some art to this, okay? How you deliver it, what you decide to focus on, and really knowing who your client is. Some like it direct, and others you need to sort of ease into it. So that's another important part. And the third important part is I always sort of say, you know, we're adults. And we don't have to take this all on. We make decisions. We can't focus on everything. So let's just pick a couple of things in here that we are going to focus on that speak to you, that you feel energy around. So that's part of an answer to your question. The second is some people have a hard time accepting what's in their 360. And that becomes almost part of what the coaching engagement is about, right? How do you listen to bad news? That could be what it ends up being focused on.
Yeah, that's a very powerful coaching moment or moments or hours or whatever it would be for sure.
Yes. Others have said to me, you know, the most important part of this engagement was actually the 360, because we're finding, even though we talk a lot about feedback, for legal reasons, for policy reasons, it gets harder and harder, particularly inside large corporate environments, to get honest, helpful, constructive feedback. There's so much fear around delivering it that a lot of people don't get it. And they are hungry for it. People, there's no way to do or be better without having a learning mindset, which you can develop, and getting access to information about yourself and how you're perceived in a way that you can hear and manage.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a great place to take a break. So for those of you listening, come back. We're going to hear more about how are you taking inventory of your own self? How are you getting 360 degree feedback, either through your own approach or through other professional support? Mm. And when you're receiving challenging news about yourself or your companies or your family or the world, how are you digesting that information? And let's listen more to Antonia about how you can use strategies and processes to help maneuver through those and possibly start adjusting behaviors and habits that will have you have more positive results in hearing that news. So come back. Let's hear about challenging news, good news. And we're also going to jump into a lot more topics. So thanks, Antonia. And we'll be right back from the break with the Alchemy of Business show. Thank you. Hello, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Business show, where we are helping people make wiser decisions. We're helping people find more abundance and profit in their lives and their work and all that they do. And we're having people focus on higher purpose and meaning. And we couldn't have a better guest that helps focus on that every day with her own life and her clients and helping them evolve in what she does in her coaching and consulting practice. Antonia, before the break, we were talking about clients that receive or don't receive information so much in positive ways when it's coming to them from their 360-degree feedback that you may have done with their peers or their company and with their direct reports or potentially even personal family members at times I've done with 360s. And your comment was an interesting one. And I have found the same thing that in corporate worlds, as entrepreneurs become bigger and they become eventually corporate because you have to have structure and processes and you know, there's hierarchies and there's politics in corporate. Sometimes the fear of people saying what they really think about their boss or their supervisor can be a challenge. And then the boss, he or she receiving it sometimes can be a challenge because people fear retribution. So let's talk just about the fear thing. I mean, fear is something that exists in all of us as humans in our personal life and our professional lives. And it also ends up in our corporate and company businesses. But what do you do in that focus of fear to help your coaching client or the people around them help break through some of that fear so you can get to the root of what the issues and positive nuggets or challenging nuggets might be?
Well, a lot of the fear that I encounter, I don't find that much fear around strategic decisions. The fear I find is around decisions and actions that need to be taken regarding people.
Okay.
That's where the fear is often. And I spend quite a lot of time talking about what is compassionate leadership, and that if you're avoiding situations, avoiding giving people information, avoiding dealing with a hard situation, and that could be, for example, having to make layoffs or redundancies.
Right. Yeah. Which is
that involves people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I talked to you about what kind of problems that creates and how you can actually do it in a direct, respectful, kind way that is transparent and leaves everybody in a better situation. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of, I would say that's probably a sub theme in a lot of coaching engagements. I would say, you know, there's this image of the tyrannical boss that sort of yells, and there's much more damage done by the avoidant behaviors. Because think about the anxiety that creates in everyone else, because they know something's not right, but there's such deep respect shown to people when you are clear and direct in a kind way and respectful way with them.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And I found that myself with clients I work with. And when I was in corporate America or running my own companies, that the clearer and more transparent I was and more vulnerable and more real and more authentic, that the more people were appreciative and responded to that. Because, you know, in the absence of information, people make shit up.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
If people will make it up. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you lose control of the narrative, and then,
Because our mind is always trying to find solutions, and every mind works different, but the mind is challenged to find solutions that fit with the narrative that you're living in. Why do they do that? Why is that happening? I wonder how that's going to affect me. What is that going to mean? You know, so we process these thoughts in our head, even if we don't know we are. So our GPS trying to solve it. And if we don't have the real clear answer that they believe, then they start making stuff up. And sometimes that's 10 times worse than what the real truth is, or not even near as good as what the real truth is. So I like that you're focused on that transparency and that compassion and leadership. And you also talk about transformational coaching and in your frameworks and really figuring out not only to transform, but also finding out along the way to how to coach yourself beyond just also being coached. So can we talk about that triangle of transformation, coaching, and being coachable or coaching yourself? We'll take a couple minutes there.
Sure. So there's transactional coaching and there's transformational coaching. And transformational coaching is infinitely more interesting. And that is really about the whole person. It's not just about, am I better at giving feedback or delegating? It's really about, how am I bringing myself here? How am I showing up? how am I supporting the people that I lead or manage or whatever? And so I am, you know, that's always my secret agenda, right? That's sometimes people come to me with quite transactional problems,
right?
But there's always a transformational element. They don't always want to go there,
right?
But that's what I'm interested in, right? I am interested in compassionate leaders who have a big toolkit that they can deploy as they need to. And I'm also very interested in leaders looking after themselves, because when they learn how to look after themselves, they are communicating that to everyone else, right? They're giving everyone else permission. And the greater your leadership role, the more you need to engage in self-care, because it is more stressful, more demanding, and the more you need to show up as your best self. So that's part of my answer to what you said. So coach yourself. I would say that's why I wrote this book. It is nice to have a coach. It's great to have a coach. But there you can get, I don't know if I 75% of the way there without one. What I did is I served these frameworks up so that you could apply them to your own life yourself. And I talk about, you know, you could have a little coaching group. I have one with other coaches. That's how we learn, right? You could also, you know, there are some very economical online coaching resources now. You know, buyer beware, there's definitely different quality. But most importantly is, do you have a learning mindset, and are you willing to invest in this process? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. I mean, I don't think you can go as far without a coach, but you can go far, and you can find other ways, mentors, friends even, that you can engage to help you on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big believer in coaching, not only because I eventually became a coach and a consultant and an advisor and different things that I do, but because I hired one when I was in my mid-20s, when I was running real estate companies. Coaching was predominantly in real estate sooner than many other industries, just because real estate agents and people were prime for great coaches. So it was a big thing in the industry. And although I was only a real estate agent for a short amount of time, as a manager, I hired a real estate management coach in my mid-20s. And it was the trajectory that changed my career, because I'm a guy that barely graduated high school. I mean, I barely got out by the skin of my teeth. I moved out of my house when I was 17. I tried going to college a few different semesters and stuff, and I never quite got through college. But when I got into real estate and selling, I knew that I'd found my path, and when I'd moved to Southern California, but I knew I didn't have all the answers, and I knew I always lacked the academic knowledge and skills that others might have. So I hired a coach, and I've had a coach every year for 30 years and still have one to this day. Different times, different reasons, different coaches, because it's what you're saying. It helped me get to levels I could not have gotten to myself. Not that I couldn't have thought about them or dreamed about them, but the accountability and the action oriented and calling bullshit on bullshit and patting you on the back when it's due and not when it's not, to have great coaches really helps you to excel. So I'm anybody on the call here, whether you're an entrepreneur, a manager, an employee, it doesn't matter. If you look at all the people that sing or perform, or athletes or actors or musicians or politicians, everybody that is at that level of skill has some type of a coach or advisor that helps them craft their skill even more so. So thanks for doing such great work.
Steve, can I share with you?
Sure. Go ahead, please.
When people ask me, you know, well, what do you do as a coach or something? I always say that first, I'm an executive coach. So I am concerned. I am focused on the business and moving the business forward. That's an important part of my work. But I always say I do three things: that I am a professional reframer. So I'm always going to help you look at situations from other perspectives, look at your own journey from other perspectives, right? Professionally reframe aspects of your life, past, present, future. I am also a good coach is your biggest cheerleader. Yeah, this is great. This is off my website. I remember when I wrote this, by the way. I love that you pulled all this. yeah, I really feel this. I am your biggest cheerleader. I will always cheer for you. And I am an honest mirror. I will call you on your BS. I will say, you know what? I heard you say this, but did you look at that? And I'm noticing this. And well, did you look at it from their perspective? That honest mirror piece is critical, but you have to have trust, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you. I love you pulled that.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, and speaking of the website, my show engineer here, Daisy, why don't we pop up just so we don't run out of time here, that we have a way that we can reach Antonia for people that, because if you're listening in and you're not seeing the slides that we're providing, they are in links on the show if you want to download those. But for those who are visually seeing this, you're seeing the screens that we're showing with Antonia's book and her website. But I want to make sure that we know how you can be reached. And you have a website. Yeah. Called AB Strategies, correct? And what are the best ways for people to reach you? And then we'll carry on with the show.
Perfect. I really appreciate that, Steve. So there's a contact form on my website. There's a page to buy my book, or you can go direct to Amazon, Antonia Bowring, Coach Yourself. Very easy to find. If you buy it, please leave a review. And the other two ways to reach me easily are LinkedIn is just my name. And you can always direct message. And then I'm on TikTok, Antonia Bowring 963, every day on ADHD topics. Today I posted something about how to keep Thanksgiving simple for working mothers with ADHD. And that's like my passion project.
That's wonderful. Creative. Well, that's wonderful. That's such a great niche and skill and art to have in addition to all your other skills. So we'll make sure we also, for those listening, we'll put those links in the show notes as well. So if you're listening in, you can just click at the bottom of the screen on YouTube or in Apple iTunes, and you'll be able to get to those sites as well. But thank you for sharing those, Antonia. So let's talk about ADHD and let's talk about mindset, because in corporate America, we all have challenges and issues in companies. And it's because I know when I was climbing the ladder myself and I started working for Prudential or Berkshire Hathaway or Wells Fargo, I kept thinking when I got to these companies, they were going to have all the answers because they were so branded and so big and, and they're great companies. But what you find when you're behind these companies is many of these organizations have just as much dysfunction and just as much inadequacy as a small little entrepreneurial startup at times, because people are human. No one is perfect, which means there's no perfect relationship. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect company. There's no perfect government. We all evolve in our best selves, but within those organizations, we also have challenges with health issues, physical health issues, people that have ailments, deaths in families, and also mental health, luckily, has becoming more and more to the forefront of being an acceptable thing to talk about and take action on, just like if you had diabetes or just like if you had cancer, if you have any mental health issues or challenges in any way. One of the small segments of that might be something in the form of ADHD, attention deficit issues that help your focus. So let's talk about how that came about and why you're focused in that yourself and why with your clients.
Yeah. So the majority of my clients don't have ADHD, but a subset do, and that's been growing. And that is because I'm just very interested in it. I got an adult diagnosis of ADHD, and that has led me to just want to understand it more, to help leaders, and professionals with ADHD. And there's a lot of pain out there. There is a tremendous amount of pain out there. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's so over diagnosed these days. No, it's not, actually. And there's a lot of shame and a lot of pain. And my dream would be that we stop talking about the problems, we stop talking about the superpowers, and we just said, Yeah, I'm Antonia Bowring, and I have ADHD. So here's what you could do on this team that would be helpful. And everybody would go, oh, okay, great. Yeah, I'll try and do that. I'll try and get you the document early, or I'll try and send you an audio note, or it's fine if you walk around while we have a meeting, or yeah, we can go into small groups because sitting down at one table can be really hard for a long meeting. I'm looking forward to the day where it's just another form of diversity that is integrated into how we all respect and treat each other with kindness in the workplace and beyond.
Yeah, that's so needed. Well, in the workplace and beyond, our families and in our countries and wars that we see, that we all need more and more kindness. We all need more and more understanding. We all need more and more transparency. And I'm so glad you're doing that work. And then that leads me, I always like to wrap up part of the show here, and the alchemy of business. The reason I picked the name alchemy is because it's a formula. Everyone has their formula of how they create their life, how they create their story and their journey. And in companies, you also have formulas. You have to have revenue and you have expenses and you have to make profit and you have teams and HR and employees. And then there's also things that we talk about, whether it's mission statements or core values or vision. And I always like to dig even deeper than that with people and in their own lives, with their own higher purpose, even than all of that, of their own definition of their own mission or vision, or in the word spirituality or religion. So I always like to ask my guests, do you consider yourself more religious, more spiritual? Are you a combination of both? And how do you define spirituality?
Yeah. You know, I knew you were going to ask this question, and I have really been thinking a lot about it. And so I was raised Catholic, in a pretty devout Catholic home. And, you know, like most teenagers, was like, oh, no, totally not interested. I'm so bored. Right. And probably the ADHD didn't help. I remember sneaking into midnight mass and hoping my mother didn't notice, and at Christmas. And so I would say that as I get older and wiser, I would definitely say that spirituality is important to me. And there is something unbelievably soothing and comforting about the religious aspects too. It's just so familiar, you know? It's just so familiar, and that feels important. That feels very soothing to me. But I would say that the closest definition of how I would define my spirituality is humanist, with a caveat. So I definitely believe in that basically we are all good people. That is the way I approach the world. I definitely approach the world with, we want to be kind. We want to encourage kindness. And also this sort of, we are all bound together by common humanity, that we are all in this together, and it's not us and them. We're all in this kind of common human experience together. Where I don't fit with the definition of humanist is I don't just believe in rational thought. I believe there are mysteries. There are vibrations. There are people who just have special gifts. There are things we don't know and can't see and can't understand. And that part I'm still trying to figure out, but I don't believe we can all explain it away with just rational thought.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I love that. Thanks for sharing that. And I agree. I ask these questions not because I have the answers. I'm always curious on what people
say. I love
that
question.
Yeah, because it helps me to process it myself. I was also brought up very strict Catholic in a very structured religion. And, you know, as a teenager, I also got rebellious and kind of I always thought, why do I have to go through that guy in that box to talk to God? Can I just go direct? Yeah. But my parents, very, very devout Catholic. And I always was, as I got older, I was always so grateful that they had such a strong belief in something higher than themselves and not just themselves. And for them, that was defined as Catholic. For me, I looked at it was just something higher that just this divine being that knows all those answers that you and I don't know. And it's a collective consciousness to me. It's energy, you know, it's this you know, AI, artificial intelligence is taking over the world right now. Everybody's dialogue, but God energy that I choose to call God, and not everyone does, but that energy is the most supreme intelligence that's ever existed. And there's more paths to that than just one. So all these humanness factors that we have, it allows us to have this free will and choices and find our own paths. And I love to bring it up because I think that element is part of what also brings into our passions and our business and our good work that we're doing in the world like you're doing. And I think when you have your aha moments like you have, that's the higher intelligence of the universe saying, oh, yep, you're on the right path now. I'll keep giving you breadcrumbs and green lights so that you keep going down that way. And to me, that's something higher than ourselves guiding us to our highest good, which is exactly what you're saying about the humanist goodness. And we're all looking to get back to that source at the core, no matter how we get there. So
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, I thought a lot about it, how I would answer that.
I remember when you said, oh, okay, I'm going to chew on that one. And I said, thank you for thinking and thank you for answering. I know it's not always a comfortable question for people. Well, we're coming here to the tail end of the show. Do you have any a question that you wished I would have asked that I didn't that you want to give an answer to for the listeners? Or do you just want to have any parting comments? Either one is fine. But just any last thoughts, Antonia?
Oh, thank you for that opportunity. I think the only thing I would like to say is that this is really all a journey, and it is really all a journey about purpose, passion, and also remembering to play, you know, that joy, the playfulness. And I choose to see the glass half full. I choose to believe that people are motivated and act with positive intent. And I choose to believe that we are all on this journey of purpose, passion, and hopefully with some fun and joy and play thrown in.
I love it. We all need more play, and we can make our work play when we have that mindset every day. So Antonia Bowring, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for writing this book and another one coming, I understand.
Yeah.
So it's called Coach Yourself. You can find this on Amazon. You can find it on different sites. We'll be having in the show notes Antonia's website, which you can also go to and link from there, but you can also go to Amazon and check her out, or she mentioned the other social sites she's on. So please listen to her wisdom and guidance. I'm sure she can help you in your personal or professional life. And thank you for all of the listeners or viewers that popped in today. We hope we had some golden nuggets that helped give you something on your path. And the goal would be that you take that and pay it forward in the world, that whatever you're doing in your good work, that you're paying it forward yourself anyway, and you're really being of service, as we started at the beginning of the show, and any nuggets that you're taking away from us, that it helps enhance your life, your business, and that you're also paying that forward as we give and as we serve. So thank you, everyone, for listening in to the Alchemy of Business show, and we will wish you all an awesome week ahead. Thanks, everyone.
And that concludes this episode of The Alchemy of Business with your host, Steve Rogers. If you found value in today's broadcast, please consider liking, subscribing, sharing with friends, and leaving a review. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next Thursday for another episode. Be blessed and see you soon.